presenting.
Roland's in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Roland.
Tom, Simple J, and that little kid called Damon. Folks, how you doing?
Wow.
Come on now.
I'll take it.
He like me call a kid.
Wants to be a comedian so
no,
bad.
I'm trying to say he look young, but he really old. So today on News 1 Now, we'll be chatting with Sabrina Fulton, talking about, of course, the Department of Justice deciding not to pursue charges against George Zimmerman in the murder of Trayvon Martin. And in fact, tomorrow is the third anniversary of the death of Trayvon Martin. So certainly our thoughts go out to Sabrina and Tracy. What happens when you have a front row seat to history? Well, that's pretty much what David Axelrod has had in his 40 years in politics. And in fact, that is the name of his book, Believer, My 40 Years in Politics. Of course, he was one of the top campaign advisors for President Barack Obama for his historic campaign. David joins us right now. David, how you doing?
I'm good, Roland. How you doing?
Doing great. Before we get to your book, I got to talk about what happened last night in Chicago. How do you see, here you got Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, all of these endorsements, $15 million war chest, running against four individuals, not necessarily well-known. He spent crazy money, and he is forced into a runoff. You look
against
at the poll.
A guy named Chewy.
Yeah, you look at the numbers. A lot of black voters who voted for him 4 years ago were not happy yesterday.
Yeah, although that vote was divided, he carried all those wards and won a plurality in all those wards, Roland. But the vote was divided. There was a fellow named Willie Wilson,
right,
who spent a couple of million dollars of his own on his candidacy in this primary, and he got 20% of the vote. In those wards, Chewy Garcia got about 20% of the vote in those wards, and scattered votes went elsewhere. So, you know, the question is whether the mayor captures those votes in a general election. And yes, there are issues. You know, we like every big city, have challenges here, and you bear the wear and tear of that in 4 years as mayor.
Has he already called you saying, hey, can you holler at me for a couple
I know
minutes?
You're retired, but...
Yeah, can you help me out?
I'll let him fight that out with my wife. She likes the retirement thing, and I kind of do too. And I'm busy out here, you know, talking about my book.
Speaking of that, you talk about obviously being retired, but what really stands out for you in terms of these 40 years in politics, being a journalist working at the Chicago Tribune, then of course going into on the political side, working with Deval Patrick's campaign and becoming the first black governor of Massachusetts, and then of course President Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, Roland, if I could have, my publisher said it was too many words. The subtitle of my book was going to be How My Idealism Survived 40 Years in Politics. And that's really what it's about. I started getting interested in politics when I was 5 years old, and a woman who took care of me when my mother was at work, a woman named Jessie Berry, an African-American woman in New York, took me to see John F. Kennedy 10 days before the 1960 election. He was campaigning in the housing development where I grew up in New York City, Stuyvesant Town, and I just got hooked that day. It seemed really important. He talked about, you know, we can choose our own destiny and so on, and I believe that about politics, and the fact that I ended up working for the first African-American president speaks to the fact that you can make a difference through this work, and I never viewed it as a business. I viewed it as a mission, as a calling, and I've had a chance to work with some great, great people. You mentioned Deval Patrick, who I think is just an extraordinary guy, made history in Massachusetts, and was one of the great governors in the history of that state. Harold Washington, who you remember here in Chicago, you know, transcendent figure, and I've worked for many others in many times in breakthrough races, and people who've made a positive difference for their communities, for the country. So it's been a great ride. And I, you know, what I really want to do is encourage people to hang in there and keep fighting and understanding that, you know, change doesn't come all in one gusher. But it comes, and we have to just keep our shoulder to the wheel here.
In these
Can
books.
I ask you a question about the common denominator that you saw between candidates like a Deval Patrick and a Barack Obama? And I guess in the second part of that is, are you still seeing it? Are you hopeful about those that are coming up?
And
today?
A Harold Washington,
yeah,
too.
Harold Washington, yeah. Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, those three are, you know, in certain ways, they're in that my Hall of Fame, my pantheon
right.
of great candidates. But I believe there are great leaders around, some at the local level, some higher up. But one of the things we have, you know, I just started this Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago. And I go around talking to young people all over the country. You know, young people are really public-spirited today, but they're very skeptical about whether politics is the way to actually change things. They say, let's start an app, let's use social media. And all that stuff is powerful, but we still need people to make sure that government is moving in the right direction, and we're using those tools to do the things that only we can only do together. And so one of my concerns is that we not let young people get turned off to the point where they don't get involved, and we don't produce the Barack Obamas and the Washingtons and the Deval Patricks, and we make the case that this is worth it. It's worth it's not only worth it; it's essential that we stay involved and invest.
How
in
do
them.
You do that in such a political climate like we have today?
Yeah.
Well, I look at the last 6 years, and people say, "Gee, it was awful, all that fighting and everything else." But on the other hand, we had 180,000 troops overseas when this president took office in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have 15,000 there now. Basically, wound those down. We have a health care reform that seven presidents tried and seven presidents failed, and millions of people who have health care who never had health care before. We've seen, you know, historic changes in the way we relate to gay and lesbian Americans, discriminate barriers knocked down. We've got, you know, there are tons of things that we have to do moving forward. But we've seen real, you know, immigration reform, Cuba, you know, I can go, the list goes on. You know, Pell Grants expanded so more kids can go to college. Lots of stuff that was done because this president was elected. So, no, we haven't changed everything. But we've changed a lot of things, and we can change more.
Can I jump in and say, as a young man in Chicago, the first election I ever voted for in was Harold Washington's campaign, and it gave me such pride to this day. So I want to thank you personally.
Well, I appreciate that, though. You're making me feel awfully old.
Hell, he's old too.
we're all there, David.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just can't afford to retire right now.
Well, I may whisper in a few people's ears. I don't know.
The book is called Believer, My 40 Years in Politics by David Axelrod. David, thanks a bunch. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
me.
Bye-bye.
Great book.
Good job,
Roland.
Thank you.
All right.